The word of God for us today is that of the Old Testament lesson, but also a little bit from the gospel as well. The cost and the call of following God, of discipleship, Jesus calls it. It's really a matter of life and death. You ever use that term? Oh, it's a matter of life and death. Probably, if you're like me, you use it from the negative more than the positive. Oh, I've got to get this done. I've got to get this report in. Okay, but it can wait. It's not a matter of life and death. I was confronted with a matter of life and death this week. Not me so much. A good friend of mine and yours, Pastor Bill Miller, had open heart surgery. And we talked a little bit. He was at peace with God, not anxious whatsoever. In fact, I did say to him at one point, because I know him and his wife quite well, and they have a strong faith, I said, you know what? If you wake up in the glorious presence of God Almighty instead of in the recovery room in the hospital, I'm going to be jealous. except I'd miss you, Lynn. but what a matter of life and death. Think about that. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. If many of you have been through surgery, I have. And when they put you under, now maybe if it's a surgery like getting your tonsils out or something like that, you're not too worried. You know, oh yeah, just take it for granted. I'll wake up again. But a surgery kind of like Bill went through, or John and Sally Clark's little grandson, Rowan, in the hospital in Rochester went through. Boy, it could go the other way. It could be that God calls you to wake up in His glorious recovery room for eternity. And how wonderful that would be. It just seems that we take God's call to discipleship and to follow Him pretty lightly. Moses says today it's a matter of life and death. Do you think that way when you hear that word proclaimed? Yeah, I got to try to get to church more. I really need to get to a Bible class. The men's ministry is starting one up. I could go to that one. Or ladies' Bible study is tomorrow night. I can get to that one. Or whatever it might be, you know, and I need to do better. That's not what this is about. Not at all. It's not about being good enough for God. You're never going to make it. You're never, ever going to be good enough for God. But thanks be to God that His Son Jesus was more than good enough, perfect, holy, and righteous, and in His grace and His mercy, just like a little Claire, baptized into the faith, into unity with Christ Jesus, now we are saved by grace alone. But we are called, as a matter of life and death, to follow Him. Moses is saying some parting words to the children of Israel as they're about to enter the promised land. Now think of who he's talking to as well. These are the children and the grandchildren of those who walked on dry land through the Red Sea. They weren't allowed, just Joshua and Caleb, that's it. They weren't allowed to enter the promised land because of their disobedience, their lack of faith and trust in God. But now, these children, these grandchildren, are being presented with what God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs. Now, they're going to go into the promised land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey, all these wonderful ways to describe it. And Moses says this to them, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. I command you today." That's why I changed the word in the confession. Did you notice that? The way the writers of that liturgy said, Moses challenged them. Baloney, he didn't challenge them. He commanded them. Because that's the art of God's deal with us. Somebody else we know wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. There's a lot in there about negotiation and compromise. The art of God's deal is this: obey. That's it. I command you this day, obey God's commands. Walk in His ways, keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live, and you'll increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. You ready for the flip side of that now? But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, what happens? If you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, including, like Mark said a little earlier, our own inclination, our own ways, maybe the lure of the world, the lure of materialism, whatever it might be, power, status, you know, all these different things we think are so important. If you're drawn away to worship other gods, I declare to you this day, you will certainly be destroyed. Destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. But this day I call you, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death. It's a matter of life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Now, Lutherans, we make a pretty big deal about saying, I don't choose God. I don't decide to follow Jesus. Even though I like that song, theologically it's a little off, okay? I don't make that decision. It's the power of God's Spirit, His means of grace, His word that calls me. But I can choose to ignore it. I can choose to disobey. I can choose other gods. And Moses is saying, don't do that. Choose life, obey God. It's a matter of life and death. Don't try hard. Don't do the best you can. Don't settle for compromise. Obey. Follow and obey. Now, I can't do that. I can't live perfectly. I can't follow God. That gospel lesson. Only those who are fit for discipleship have to hate their family. They have to hate themselves, hate the life. Well, Jesus isn't saying you got to hate your family, your parents, your spouse, your siblings. Not at all. But He is saying you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And God is number one. And follow Him and His will. And when we fail, Paul has the answer. What's the wages of sin is? Death. You know that one. What comes next? What's the free gift of God? Yeah, in Christ Jesus, forgiveness, life, and salvation. So when we falter, when we sin, may we delight in that will of God that confronts us, that calls us to repentance, and to seek out His grace and His forgiveness. And then commit our way unto the Lord once again. Ever heard of a mugwump? When I saw it this past week in a devotion, mugwump, I thought, what is a mugwump? Anyone got a guess? Come on, history buffs. He knows what a mugwump is? Well, good for you. Good for you. It's not one of those characters in Star Wars. You know, that's what I thought of. What's a mugwump? It's probably one of those guys with about three or four eyeballs and hands and all these weird things. That's a mugwump. No, it's a real thing in history. Around the 1880s, some of the members of the Republican Party did not like the nominee that was put up by their party for president. They backed Grover Cleveland, as you know, and he was elected. So they switched over from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party, and they supported him. And they got the name Mugwumps. It's an Algonquin Indian word. I don't know. It probably has a bad meaning that I don't know about, so I'll be embarrassed if we find that out. Mugwump. Don't be a mugwump. And I'm not talking about politics, okay? I'm not talking about don't leave your Republican Party and become a Democrat. I don't mean anything like that. Don't be those who cross over. Don't leave your righteous family that you're a part of, that Christ has called you to be and redeemed you and paid for your entrance into that family with his own life and his blood shed on the cross. Don't cross over. Rather be those who take up your cross and follow him. Let's pray. Lord, this day you set before us life and death. We're not used to thinking in terms of black and white. Our world is really gray. And we kind of like it that way, because then nobody's right, nobody's wrong, everybody has their opinion. But we know the art of your deal, your covenant with us, is 100% obedience to your will and to your way. And you loved us so much that when we fall short, you provided for a payment of our sins, a forgiveness, and the gift of your grace and mercy. We pray that in this world we not be religious mugwumps that trade out our calling to be followers of yours, your disciples, just to follow our own particular opinions and ways. Send your Spirit to work in us, that we continue always to follow you, and when we fall, to repent, to receive your absolution, and to get up and take up our cross and continue to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.